I used to believe I could pull the strings of society like a symphony. One perfectly timed note of fear, a whisper of uncertainty, and the market would dance for me. But this time, the crowd didn't flinch. They stared back. Someone's rewritten the rules, using the same tactics I pioneered to spark something I never weaponized: hope. Jalen, my discarded protege, has returned, not as a threat to my system, but as its antidote. And the people? They're listening. My algorithms are decaying, my influences are defecting, and justice now has a name. It's not a lawsuit, it's not a scandal. It's a dossier hidden in my own server room, authored by the one person I never truly saw, Sarah. This isn't just a story of manipulation losing its grip. It's the moment when the master realizes he was the test subject all along. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. Mind games in a fragile market. I once believed that market psychology was just another lever, a switch I could flip with the right cocktail of social manipulation and fear. But markets, they're not made of data points. They're made of people, of group behavior, of volatility wrapped in skin. This morning, I launched a test, just a ripple in the algorithm, a whisper into the feed. A major company is quietly collapsing. Sell before the panic hits. The results? Faster than I expected. Shares dropped 12% in 6 hours. Comment sections exploded. Memes formed like tumors. And people, ordinary, rational people, began to self-destruct their own portfolios. But here's the thing. This time, I didn't enjoy it. There was something off. The reaction was too fast, too personal, as if someone else had added fuel to the fire, like I was being played inside my own game. That's when I saw it. Threaded into the trending post was a tag I hadn't authorized. Shadow justice, buried just beneath the avalanche of panicked comments. I traced it. Not just a bot, a network, a counterplay. Someone was using my playbook, inverting it against me. And not just anyone. It was Jalen. Jalen, the intern I dismissed 5 years ago. The one I thought broke under pressure. Turns out he didn't break. He watched, learned, built a following. Not of manipulators, but of believers. And now he was using the same market psychology principles I taught him to weaponize something I never considered: public empathy. He had changed the rules of the game. I watched as one of my influencers, an old asset, publicly defected on a live stream. She spoke of leaving the machine behind, of reclaiming her identity from the dark forces of social systems engineered to control emotion for capital gain. And for the first time in years, I felt my mind racing, not with strategy, with uncertainty. I tried stabilizing the narrative, injecting new content, fresh distractions, recycled scandals, but nothing worked. The trend had mutated. Now the crowd wasn't just reacting to me, it was predicting me. Like a digital organism adapting in real time to survive my manipulations. For a moment, I stared into my dashboard, unsure of who was manipulating whom. Maybe the group behavior I'd always used as a tool had evolved into something that no longer needed me. Maybe the crowd had finally found its own voice, one that spoke back to its puppeteer. And in the distance, behind the noise of data streams and flickering charts, I felt it. The subtle but certain chill of losing control. The new messiah of ethical leadership. They called him the light in the algorithm, a nickname once reserved for me. Jalen's video had just hit 2 million views, his face calm, deliberate, unapologetically human, while mine remained hidden behind code, optics, and perfectly engineered PR disasters. He stood on a minimalist stage in some indie conference hall, packed with burnt-out creators, broken marketers, and defectors from my own empire. They clung to his words like scripture. Not because he screamed louder, but because he didn't need to. He wasn't manipulating. He was leading. And worst of all, it looked authentic. "The age of engineered reactions is ending," Jalen said. "What we need now is ethical leadership, the kind rooted in transparency, not tactics. I scoffed at the screen, yet my hands trembled slightly. I'd written that same phrase once, in a draft never published, back when I still believed in anything. What Jalen had mastered wasn't just positive influence. It was the appearance of sincerity, delivered through my old persuasion methods, wrapped in his new branding. A rebrand of morality. He wasn't dismantling the system, he was replacing me. The worst part? My metrics confirmed it. Former partners weren't just going quiet, they were defecting. Clients were freezing contracts. Influencers were dropping my keywords and adopting his. The script was flipping, and for the first time, my silence was louder than his presence. I had underestimated the potency of ethical storytelling, of simply telling the truth, unfiltered. I had engineered an empire from secrets and shadows. He was building one from confessions. And while I had spent years mastering manipulation, he was leveraging a new weapon I never accounted for. Hope. Leadership isn't about control, Jalen finished. It's about surrendering the illusion of it. The room erupted in applause, and in my control room, the lights dimmed, not from failure, but fatigue. My war was no longer fought in data streams. It was being lost in the hearts of those I once rewired. Cracks in the algorithmic shell. The silence of the control room was deceiving. On the surface, everything remained intact. The servers humming, the dashboards glowing, and the data streams flowing like veins in a digital beast. But beneath it all, the system was bleeding. The algorithm wasn't responding the way it used to. My finely tuned triggers, emotional spikes, timed headlines, synthetic outrage, were producing noise, not reaction. It was as if the system had developed an immunity to me. I opened the neural sequence monitor and played a pre-scheduled segment designed to instill mass confidence during a volatility dip. A trusted voice, one I'd engineered years ago with a team of audio psychologists, began to speak. You're in control. The world may shift, but your actions define your future. Nothing. Engagement plummeted. Worse, the comment section turned it into satire. Memes bloomed instantly. They weren't just ignoring the audio manipulation, they were mocking it. I retreated into the back chamber, my sanctuary of neural inputs, soundproof design, walls filled with every AI-enhanced feedback loop I'd perfected over a decade. But now, every reflection from the screen felt like it was staring into me. I ran simulations, triggered old failsafes, rewrote narrative arcs mid-sequence. I even attempted to relayer the response patterns using advanced cognitive techniques, reversal theory, emotion decay mapping, even my old fallback, deep NLP influence protocols. Nothing worked. Somehow, the framework I'd built with elite cognitive skills was crumbling beneath my fingertips, and I couldn't figure out why. The truth struck me like a scalpel under the ribcage. The crowd didn't just evolve, they recognized me. I wasn't some phantom behind the screen anymore. I was a villain with a face, a style, a predictable pattern of dark psychology dressed as influence. The algorithm hadn't failed. It had stopped trusting me. That night, I heard static in the playback loop of a scheduled broadcast. At first, I thought it was interference, but layered beneath it, at a nearly imperceptible frequency, was a voice. Faint, intentional. You taught us how to lie. We just learned to lie better. My own echo, distorted and thrown back in my face. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't feel like a god. I felt like a ghost. Shadows of justice and the server room trap. I always return to the server room when things begin to rot. It's where my world was built, my sanctuary, my vault of secrets and silence. But this time, the silence wasn't comforting. It was suspicious. The biometric lock accepted my fingerprint with a delay. Inside, the air was colder than it should have been, the hum of the processors off by a note. Someone had been here. I moved to Terminal 3, the one no one was supposed to know existed. It blinked to life with a faint, unnatural latency. Then I saw it. The logs had been tampered with. Not deleted, rewritten. Someone had studied me long enough to learn my cadence, my rhythm, my signature, and used it to forge a new script, one that led to me. I pulled up the node map. It wasn't just an intrusion. It was a mirror, a surveillance script that tracked not the company, but me. Every keystroke, every decision, every manipulation, documented, annotated, time-stamped, a weaponized dossier. Above the files, a single folder pulsed like a heartbeat. Sarah, Justice. I opened it. It was her. Sarah's voice, her interviews, her interactions with my proxies, her analysis of my methods. It wasn't revenge, it was justice. Shadows of justice cast by the very woman I once thought could never see me clearly, now drawing the sharpest outline of who I truly was. And it was all tagged, archived, ready for exposure. Suddenly, the ground beneath my empire didn't feel made of steel. It felt like glass. I initiated countermeasures. Mitigation techniques embedded in core systems, a cascade of protocol erasures, audio smears, AI-generated counter-narratives, but they were met and overridden by something more resilient, ethical standards. Sarah hadn't just exposed me. She had replaced my black box methods with transparent blueprints. Her movements were honest, documented, pure, and the people were listening. I stared at the terminal, hands trembling, the light from the monitors casting fractured shadows across my face. This wasn't a server room anymore. It was a confessional. And somewhere between the blinking cursors and collapsing firewalls, I realized I was standing inside a trap I had built for others. Celestial insights or cognitive collapse? Sleep evaded me. Not that I needed it. Not when every breath was a simulation, every gesture a calculated illusion. But tonight, I was haunted not by errors in code, but by something I couldn't debug. Emotion. I walked the upper corridors of the viral compound, lights low, memory fragments crashing into my thoughts like waves against glass. Faces, words, betrayals. Glimpses of something I never allowed to grow. Regret. I reached the glass atrium just before dawn, surrounded by screens that no longer obeyed. I leaned against the wall and let my body do what it hadn't in years. Feel. My chest tightened, my legs buckled slightly. A strange heat rushed behind my eyes. Was this grief? No, it was something deeper, something buried beneath decades of control. A rupture in my body intelligence. The system that once knew when to breathe, when to pause, when to hide. Now? It was revolting, demanding I feel the very things I'd once engineered others to suppress. A screen flickered behind me. A projected interface lit up without command, displaying a symbol I hadn't seen in years, one I used during my early experiments with psychological immersion, the Halo Protocol. An old simulation meant to mimic divine inspiration through neural light therapy. I never finished it, never dared to test it on myself. But now, I stepped forward, let it run. Light cascaded through my pupils, flooding my brain with patterns. Memories fractured and rebuilt. I saw moments I had erased, my father's hand trembling at a dinner table, my mother's silence during the verdict. The first time I lied, and saw it work. Then, Sarah's eyes, not filled with rage, but understanding. Not a soldier, a mirror. A voice emerged, layered in harmonics, not from the machine, but from somewhere deeper. This isn't revelation, It's a reckoning. I collapsed. My mind pulsed with celestial insights, but they weren't prophetic. They were human, raw, messy, unfiltered. Every tactic I'd mastered, every nudge in human dynamics, every manipulation of complex emotions, now turned inward, used against myself. I crawled out of the simulation chamber as the sun broke through the atrium's edge, and I whispered aloud, maybe to the room, maybe to no one, "Is this what empathy feels like?" Then I laughed and cried and knew. The fall had begun. If Sarah lit the match, then maybe I soaked myself in gasoline.